Thank you. Thank you so much. My name's Annette. I'm an alcoholic. And wow, so many newcomers. Congratulations on all of you counting days. One of my girls is in here too. Thank you, Lisa, for showing up. You're doing so good. And, I had a little trouble getting in here. I updated my computer and it just wouldn't start. So I don't know if it's Sharon that I called, but I called and said, I'm coming, I'm coming. And thank you for your faith in me and inviting me to come here and share with you all. My sobriety date is November 3rd, 2004. So as long as I don't screw up between now and November 3rd, I'll be celebrating 22 years. And anyone who knew me 22 years ago would know what a miracle that truly is. And I really appreciate that someone read from We Agnostics. For me, and I think for a lot of newcomers, I mean, if you read the doctor's opinion, that's an area that they point us to. And I'm going to try and focus this towards newcomers, but I also just want to share my story with you. And, there's a nut for every bolt. I've had some experiences that a lot of other people have not had, but in the doctor's opinion, it says that we're restless and irritable and discontented, and that we seek a sense of ease and comfort. And I recognize too that a lot of people in this room are probably like me, not purists in alcoholism. There's some people where that's their drug of choice and that's what they used. I was an equal opportunity escaper. I used drugs, I used food, I used sex, I used exercise. I've used all kinds of things to avoid feeling restless and irritable and discontented. And when we get to step four in the big book, it talks about alcohol is just a symptom of the problem, and that we have to get down to causes and conditions. And those causes and conditions for me had to do with a lot of trauma. But ultimately, what happened as a result of that trauma is it led to a spiritual sickness. And so I really appreciate someone reading from We Agnostics because, like I said, I got sober and Alcoholics Anonymous, but I participate in AA, CA, NA, ACA, and SLAA. And every single one of those 12-step programs have the same solution, and that is a relationship with God as you understand God. And so I think it's one thing to really point out to the newcomer is that every meeting you go to, we open with prayer. Every meeting, we finish with prayer. And I think that I always suggest that it's very important to make prayer a regular part of your life. Now, for me, I struggled with the God thing for a long time, and I'm just going to kind of give you the cliff notes of my story. I didn't grow up with parents that were alcoholics or addicts. My dad was a doctor. My mom was a stay-at-home mother. She's from South America. She came here with her family, with her mother and her sister, who didn't speak a lot of English. And her mother worked in the garment district in Los Angeles. And because it wasn't enough to actually support herself, she got a position as a live-in domestic with a man who gave her free room and board and paid her a little extra money to clean the house, do the cooking, do the laundry, do the housewife things, and then she'd go to work and do her regular job. And my brother's 7 years older than me, and a lot of times my family would travel without me because I was considerably younger, and I was left with my grandmother a lot. And this man that gave her this position as a live-in domestic molested me from the time I was about 3 years old into my teen years. And this experience, a lot of people don't have this kind of trauma, but all I can tell you is that this experience for me gave me some really skewed ideas of where my value is, what a relationship looks like, what love looks like. Everything's a secret. And so I grew up with some pretty odd behavior. I was different. I really was different. We all feel like, we're kind of an alien. We don't belong. We don't fit in. But because of this experience, I behaved differently than other people, and I reacted differently to the people around me. And, so that started when I was a toddler. Well, by the time I got to middle school, I found some kids that had some experience, strength, and hope. And that looked like, hey, let's go behind the basketball court and smoke a joint. And let's go to my parents' house after school and hit the liquor cabinet. And we did the rounds. And because neither one of my parents were alcoholics, they had this full liquor cabinet. And we used to go in there and pour from various bottles and water it down. And my parents didn't figure that shit out for years because they didn't drink very often. I just didn't come from that environment. But, I found a solution. I found a sense of ease and comfort that came from altering myself in some way. And once I found a solution, I pursued it with a vengeance. I got myself in trouble. I got kicked out of school. I was, became a runaway. I hit the street. I took off, and I would stay with whoever would take care of me. And somewhere down the line, someone said, "Hey, Annette," I was a high school dropout. Someone said, "Hey, I work as a nurse's aide. You don't need your high school diploma. They'll train you on the job." And I took a position as a nurse's aide and worked in that environment to a point where finally I saw a nurse that I had a resentment against, and I said, "If she could get through nursing school, I could get through nursing school." I went to nursing school. I got my nursing license. I did really well. I turned out that I wasn't really dumb, and that I was pretty smart, and I could do well if I actually had an interest in doing it. It's just in school, I just didn't have an interest in doing what they were teaching me, and I just didn't feel like I belonged. And so, I had already had my alcoholism and my addiction already was active at that point in my life. So I did go into the world of work in an environment where I had access to a lot of drugs, and diluted my, I had a lot of delusions around it because I would do drug diversion to trade it for what I really wanted or to get money and to do. So I had this idea that I wouldn't get caught because if they tested me for the drugs that were missing, I wouldn't test positive for them because I was doing other stuff. Needless to say, I couldn't hold it together. I actually got to the point where I would pour Coca-Cola out of my Coke bottle and pour vodka into it. And as I was actually passing meds to patients, I would hit the bottle. And someone smelled the alcohol, called me on it. I got in trouble for drug diversion for various things and lost my nursing license for a while. I did eventually get that back, but I did get into trouble, and I just like people to be able to look up and verify the facts. In 2008, Los Angeles Times, they did an article on nurses that were not that the nursing board did not protect the public against, and I'm one of the featured nurses. So if you ever want to see what I got in trouble for, I'm in that article. I tell you this mostly because I want you to see what a miracle it is that I don't drink and use today. I want you to know that if I could get sober, you can get sober. I was doing the revolving door in and out of jail. I knew every correctional officer in San Luis Obispo County. They all knew who I was. And I'm grateful to say that today I'm still able to go into that jail and speak to the women there. This process, I got a sponsor, I went to meetings. It took a village. I did the steps to the best of my ability. And all I can tell you is that God did not have me face anything that I wasn't ready to face. Like, I'm almost 22 years sober, and I didn't actually do any in-depth trauma work until I was about 17 years sober. I did it with EMDR. I did the steps in another program that is focused on sex and love addiction, and I don't believe, I believe today that everything has divine purpose. Everyone I meet in my life has divine purpose. Every time something comes up, it's an opportunity for me to heal or grow from. It's because that's the time that God's making me available or ready to do it. I couldn't have looked at, I didn't realize that I had the feeling and the pain that I had until I got into therapy and I was told, I want you to get photographs of yourself as a child. And when I did that and I started looking at 3-year-old little Annette, the pain and disgust that I felt was so hard that I realized I wouldn't have been ready to look at that before I was 17 years sober. I just couldn't do it. And it was so painful. And I knew pain is there. Restless, irritable. I heard this in a meeting recently at a convention where they said, restless, irritable, and discontented when you have tools to work through it is a cue to move in a different direction, that you have some work to do and that you have some healing to do. When you get sober, when you've done these steps, when you've done this work, it doesn't mean that you never experience pain, that you never experience fear, that you never experience these feelings that make us want to numb out and drink or use or do something. But what does happen is we have enough spirit experience to where we grow in faith and trust that God is moving us in a different direction. And then we learn to invite God in and say, okay, God, what am I supposed to learn from this? Show me what I'm supposed to learn. Lead me to the right person. Lead me to the right text, to the right action that's going to help me heal. So the other thing that they teach us in prayer is that we don't pray solely for ourselves, but so that we can use our experience to be useful to others. And I really believe that everything I've gone through that's been painful in life was God preparing me to be useful to others. So for me, the God thing didn't come easy. My sponsor is Ronald White. My home group is the Never Too Early Big Book Workshop. It's on Sunday mornings on Zoom. And my phone number's there. I know that there's some people here internationally. And I have WhatsApp if you need to reach out on WhatsApp. And I speak Spanish if there's anyone who's Spanish speaking that wants to communicate with me. But I remember at one point in that group, we were talking about the fourth step, and people were talking about this faith in God, which, by the way, is my New Year's resolution every year, is to just grow in faith, to just grow in faith. But I remember calling, this is why I really love that you shared from We Agnostics. I remember calling my sponsor's brother, who leads the meeting, and saying, I don't really believe in God. I had a lot of sobriety at that time. And I stayed sober by doing the steps. I still prayed. I still did the work, but I just didn't have the faith that it seemed to me other people had. And the truth is, the people that I'm always drawn to in meetings and in the fellowship are people that seem to have this really strong faith, that really trust God, that practice that trust and strong faith. And I called and said, I don't really believe in God. And he said to me, well, Annette, when you were locked in that bathroom hitting the crack pipe, what got you to stop? And I said, well, I got arrested. And he said, no, that didn't get you to stop. Every time you got arrested, you got picked up again, you went back to jail. What was it that finally got you to stop this last time when you stayed sober? You've been sober now. That time it was like 15. You've been sober a while now. What changed this time where you stayed? Kept pushing and pressing me on it until I finally said, I don't know what changed. And he said, well, whatever it is that changed, just seek a relationship with that. And so, for those of you who are struggling with God, that don't believe in God, or there's a wonderful chapter in the 12 and 12, the second step, that talks about all the bewildered one. And that talks about different perspectives in relation to God that people have, And I definitely fit that category if I miss the beauty of the forest for the ugliness of a few trees. I was so focused on the ugly trees, that I missed really the humility, the grace. And all I can say is that you don't get from where I was at in my addiction, in my drinking, in my using, in my behaviors. I mean, again, like I said, I've done a lot of different 12-step programs. Not all of them are related to being altered using chemicals or alcohol to alter myself, but just behaviors as well, to just get that sense of escape, that hit. And I had to learn to invite God into every aspect of my life. I had to learn to invite God into my relationship, into the bedroom, into my, of course, you see people eat before they pray before they eat. There's some people who do that. I do that now. Didn't always do that. But I had an eating problem too. I go from being really big and obese to really skinny, and I go all over the place because I either restrict and control or I overeat to seek a sense of ease and comfort. And I've just had some balance in my life. But the thing is to recognize that a lot of the stuff that we're struggling and drinking and using over are things that have happened in the past. They're not actually happening to us today. And that if we could just use the perspective of saying, God, thank you for carrying me forward from this place, and please show me how to heal from this. Help me see things honestly. I don't want to lie to myself anymore. I don't want to, put a veil. I want to see things as they really are, because only from that place am I able to move forward and heal from it. And for me, that's kind of the biggest message I have to the newcomer, is just, seek that relationship with God, and talk to people who have experiences similar to yours, and ask them how they recovered from it. And be and help, you'll have sponsors that have different opinions on this, but my opinion very much is, if you have 90 days, you have something to offer someone who's got 60 days. And if you have 60 days, you have something to offer someone who's got 20 days. And in reality, if you have one day, you have something to offer me, because you're giving me a perspective of what it was like, because I'm further away from it, but it's still in me. The ism is still there. We were reading today in my big book workshop, and I'm gonna end with the 10-step promises, because you'll often hear the 9th-step promises read in the meeting, but I love the 10-step promises. It says, "And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we will recoil from it as if it were a hot flame. We react
2 minutes,
sanely."
please.
Thank you. "We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see how our new attitude towards liquor has been given to us without thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We haven't even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition." So, for me, that's it. It's all about God. It's all about our relationship with God. As you understand God, please hear me. I'm not a religious person. I have a Catholic family. I have a lot of people in my family that are very religious. I'm not a religious person. My partner is. My partner goes to church. I'm okay with anybody's faith. Your path to God is the one that's going to work for you, but find it. Find that path, invite God into every aspect. It's going to make your healing and your recovery more solid. And I will shut up with that so I can hear from the rest of you. And I want to thank you again for inviting me to share with you all.